Oilers afternoon affair tomorrow, by the way. Pouliot and Hendricks will be game time decisions. If you missed it, Matt Hendricks walking around in a boot after taking a shot on the foot off of a Sergei Gonchar. The Oilers will be taking on the Ottawa Senators, both teams out of the playoffs. Lee Versage from TSN 1200 joins us once again. Lee, how you doing?
Well, it's only minus 36 here in Ottawa. It's good that you guys are able to get up local time at noon for a game tomorrow, a 2 o'clock afternoon Valentine's Day special.
Minus 36. Yikes. Yeah, no, it's plus 2 in Edmonton today. This is unbelievable. So,
well, I was going to say, I didn't know if I could complain about the weather with you guys being from Edmonton, but now that you say it's plus 2, yes, I can complain about the weather here in Ottawa.
Yeah, we've actually had a great winter, all things considering. Now, I noticed Chris Neal's name has been slowly being bantied about, whispered that potentially he's a guy on the move. So let's talk about Neal and Chris Phillips. Do you think they get traded?
Well, we'll start with Chris Neal. I thought so over the past couple of weeks because when Chris Neal came back from injury, you know, he was out 5 weeks and he came back under new head coach Dave Cameron. He really hadn't played under him. And then he gets out on the ice and it's 5.5 minutes and then 6.5 minutes. Never had a game other than one blowout win over 7.5 minutes. And you think, okay, well, they're almost trying to, you know, embarrass this guy out of town or take another contract year that he has and say, I want to play it somewhere else. But over the last week or two, I would say that Chris Neal, he's played a little bit more. He's kind of come out and said that he wants to stay. I just don't know what the offers are going to be for a guy like Chris Neal. Could he help out a team? I think so, on a fourth line, playing 7-8 minutes a game and protecting some of the bigger stars on contending teams. I just don't know exactly what teams would give up to get Chris Neal, who does have another year left. It's not too much money. It's 1.5 in real money, 1.9 against the cap. But at age 35, the one thing Chris Neal can do still is protect and fight. I still haven't seen him lose a fight in a long time. But he's a very proud Ottawa guy, and I'm not sure about him. Chris Phillips, he's a bit of a different story. And he came back for game 1,179, broke the all-time Senators games played record ahead of Daniel Alfredsson. And all of a sudden, he wasn't ready to go the next day. And now Dave Cameron's calling him week to week with wear and tear. I'm not exactly sure what that injury is, so I don't know if they're keeping them fresh to be able to trade before March the 2nd, or teams are going to say, well, you know, I'm a little bit leery anyways, so what am I willing to give up to get a Chris Phillips? So I'm not even sure we'll be in the lineup once we get him.
And when he is in the lineup, how much does he have left?
Yeah, that's an interesting story. Because at the beginning of the year, I think we all thought, well, what does he have left? It probably is going to be a sixth or seventh role on defense for this team. And then Mark Messot's hurt, and then they have some struggling young players on defense. And Chris Phillips is playing 24 minutes a night. And you thought, you can't keep this up. There's just no way. But he was really good for the first 20 games of the year. And then once some of those guys started to come back and play a little bit better, his ice time got reduced, he did have some injuries that I think were because he played so much early in the season. So I'm not exactly sure. I think what Dave Cameron's done since he has come in playing the youngsters and kind of reducing the roles of some of the veterans on this team is to leave us guessing what do they have left on this team. So again, for Chris Phillips, whether he's kind of resting and trying to get set to be able to be moved. He's always talked about not wanting to be moved, but he also has another year left on his contract. And, you know, if those guys' ice times, both Neal and Phillips, are going to be in the 5-6 minute range now, what are they going to be next year on this team?
Yeah, and that was my question, because I think Phillips, if this was his last year, would be a much more attractive guy to trade. But because he's got a year left, I wonder if teams are a little hesitant.
I would absolutely agree, because the one thing, you know, he's a great locker room guy, and you know what you're going to get out of Chris Phillips. And I think, on again, a contending team that wanted to use him in a 5-6 role, maybe even a number 4 role, to play 15 minutes a night, you know, he's a pretty serviceable player. But again, that year comes into it, and you don't know what you're going to get. And his injury status has been, you know, very up and down. And I love the NHL, right? Everything's an upper body, lower body, general body soreness, and you know, everything you can tell to not know exactly what's going on with a player. But we really don't know. His back seized up a little bit. He's had a couple of knee and ankle problems. But when the coach comes out and calls it wear and tear, and he looked completely fine in his record-breaking game, and then we haven't seen him since, who knows?
Lee Versage joins us from Ottawa as the Oilers in Ottawa to take on the Senators. Bristolly cold, minus 36 there right now. Looking at the Sens, you know, they've got seven guys with, you know, double digits and goals. Ryan Carlson, Turris, Stone, Hoffman, Zibanejad, and Clark MacArthur. Like, some of their statistics, you'll look and say, okay, this team should be better than they are. How come they're not?
Well, I think when you look at it, they don't have a number one center. That's first and foremost. And yes, they traded Jason Spezza, and yes, they knew that they were going to have that problem when they traded Jason Spezza, but he also wanted out of town, and they had to do what was best for the organization. So Kyle Turris, you know, who had, you know, more than 20 goals last year and, you know, has 11 now, and he scored, you know, two of the last four games, I think. You know, I have a world of admiration for Kyle Turris and what he's been through, you know, behind Spezza and having to take over the number one role. But he's not a number one center. He's not big enough. He's not strong enough. And you see that on a consistent basis. And, you know, these other guys that you mentioned have been decent. Zibanejad got off to a horrifically slow start, and he's come on and been a lot better. Of course, he's been paired with Bobby Ryan, and they've had Clark MacArthur for the most part on that line for the last 3 or 4 weeks. And guess what? He's playing with better players, and he's better, of course. So for him, he, you know, the young players, you don't mind. They've been slow. They're getting better. You see holes in their game. But look, this is a very young team. In fact, the second youngest team in the National Hockey League. You know, where you want to see, and especially fans here, okay, Mike Hoffman leads the team in goals. He doesn't have one on the power play. Not one power play point this year for Mike Hoffman. And people are wondering, why is he not on the power play more? Well, it's a good question that we haven't quite got answered, and I think the coach does have some worries about his deficiencies as far as giving away the puck and being a little bit too offensive at times. So, yeah, it's a young team. It's a building team. They don't have a number one center. Erik Karlsson, you know, didn't have a guy to insulate him and support him. Mark Mathot has come back the last little while. That's going to be the biggest question here in the next 3 weeks about what they're going to do with Mark Mathot. But once the thought came back, Carlson was much better. But before that, Carlson was running around all over the place, trying to do too much, giving away the puck. And look, he's got some great offensive talent. We know that. But when he's playing over 30 minutes a game, trying to do too much, you know, they didn't really have that solid defense pair for him. And then they had great goaltending at the beginning of the season. But once Craig Anderson went down with injury and Robin Lehner, you know, I think has struggled at times this year, this is a very ordinary team and probably deserve to be exactly where they are in the standings.
So they're not. It's hard to get a number one center, obviously, via trade. So when you look back at the Spezza trade, was it the wrong move?
No, it wasn't, because, first of all, Jason didn't want to be here. And, you know, I think the whole, I mean, go check out the Dallas Stars and see if they're comfortable with Jason Spezza making $7 million this year, 7.5 next year. And where are they in the standings? I mean, like, look, this is a market that was very hard on Spezza, but also deservingly so, because of the money he made and the true leader that he was supposed to be, he never quite lived up to expectations. So I understand why they made the deal, and I think they got a pretty good deal. Paul had played at the World Juniors, thrown in there, and, you know, I've had a chance to cover him. In fact, I did the game Ottawa on North Bay last week, and Nick Paul was terrific in that game. TSN is a very young player, and we'll see if he turns into the power forward that they want. They got a second-round pick this year, and Dallas not doing that well. Right now, Ottawa's got three picks in the top 40 before they start trading guys. So, look, I get it. I know why they had to do it, and, you know, I think they got a pretty good return if Nick Paul turns out to be the player they think he's going to, and they're able to draft well with Dallas's second-round pick this year. They weren't going to get more for a guy in Spezza than they did. So they've done well. It's just turning those guys, turning Nick Paul, turning Alex Chiasson, turning that second-round pick into valuable assets for the team, and that, you know, they've done well in drafting. You look at Curtis Lazar and Cody Ceci and some of the young players that they've got. I mean, even Erik Karlsson, a number 15 overall pick. CeCe's a 15 overall pick. They got Lazar at 17. So, you know, not all teams, guys, have had the luxury of drafting where you guys have drafted over the past 4 or 5 years. That's for sure.
No, well, that doesn't guarantee you success, Lee. I can tell you that.
Well, that's why it's so much fun to see you guys at the draft each and every year with what you guys are doing, because I know you guys have been awfully turbulent there, but, and hopefully, you know, at some point it turns around. But I know there's a lot of people this year in, of course, Ottawa and Toronto and different places thinking, I don't want Edmonton to win the lottery again this year. Edmonton's always there. They don't deserve to win the lottery. So outside of Edmonton, I'm not sure that you guys are all that loved in that regard.
Well, they only ever won the lottery once, in fact, right? Usually just like the year they had the worst team, New Jersey won, so they could only move up four spots, and they still suck. So that's the that was the advantage for the Oilers, really. But I know Oilers fans this year are hoping if they finish 29th, they're hoping the trend that the 29th place team wins the lottery four years in a row. That's what they'll be hoping for.
Well, what I love about the lottery, and, you know, for your guys' sake, I hope you're able to kind of retake Buffalo and get to that last spot, because the difference between last year at 75%, one of the first two teams winning the lottery, and this year, what, just 33%. So that means two-thirds of the time, somebody else, other than number one or number two, are going to win the lottery. And that, I think, has a lot of interest with so many teams, especially in the East. You look at the eight teams in the Eastern Conference right now that are in the playoffs. Those are the teams that are making it. And everyone else, I mean, Florida with a slight chance and everyone else are done like dinner. So what's everyone looking forward to? Well, of course, the draft and the lottery to see who could get a franchise-changing player in Connor McDavid.
It's going to be interesting, man. I appreciate it. Lee, enjoy the game tomorrow.
There's nothing like cheering for both teams to lose to improve your lottery position. I'm sure that's what both fan bases will be hoping for tomorrow.